Welcome to the provocative world of cis society, where we fearlessly embrace taboos around sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality. This is Taboo Talks, where no topic is off limits. Join us as we expand our compassion and embrace our shadows and light.
And welcome to this episode of Taboo Talks, where we are exploring the multi-dimensional world of gender identity. Today, we are joined by Lindsay Z. Stillwell. Lindsay is a queer solo mama, holistic body worker, intimacy coach, and multidisciplinary performing artist, passionate about creating liberation and social change through trauma healing, experimental art, and erotic empowerment. Welcome, Lindsay.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Such an honor to have you here, truly.
Great to be with you both today. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yes. Yeah.
We're honored to have you. And as we've been moving through this topic of gender identity for the last 4 weeks or so, we've talked to all sorts of different people about, you know, gender pronouns and moving past labels and non-binary and trans and all these interesting perspectives. And when this idea of this indigenous pre-colonization idea of gender came to our awareness, we felt like that was a really important perspective that was kind of missing from this gender narrative in modern day society. And so, yeah, we're really excited to explore a little bit more about that with you. And so I would just love to jump right in and have you kind of share with us about this idea of being two-spirited and why you resonate with that and where that and the history of where that comes from.
Yeah, thank you. Before I start, I just feel like, yeah, I also just want to acknowledge like where we are and the indigenous people of this land, Alfina and I here in Big Island, Hawaii, and Heather in Mexico. It's really important for me just to acknowledge my ancestors and all the people that have come before me and those that are coming after me and all of my non-human ancestors as well. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. So for me, being a two-spirit, I first came across the terminology probably in 2012, 2013, while living in Australia. And as a First Nations person who has been reclaiming my indigenosity and my heritage for the last 15 so years, actually kind of since childhood, but really more proactively in the last 15 years, it was really astonishing for me to like hear the term two-spirit and be like, whoa, what is that? Who is that? Is that me? Oh my gosh, I think it is me. And really was like have a cultural word that felt appropriate to claim and define as the gender expression that I am. I mean, growing up, I grew up in an extremely conservative, very religious, very repressed environment where everything was very black and white. Not just gender and sexuality, but like everything was heaven and hell, black and white. And as I've matured and developed into myself, coming out as a queer person in 2012, and then recognizing that not just am I like sexuality queer, but also gender queer, I was kind of really unsure like what languaging to use for myself. And I feel like I continue to use the word queer because it as itself is like a broad encompassing word that kind of means out of the box, you know, like not the normal, not the heteronormative, whatever. And it's a little bit open to interpretation, which I like as well. But yeah, when I found out about the word two-spirit, I was just like, oh my goodness, finally, like something that resonates beyond like the more modern cultural context of gender expression and really like rooted in my indigenous ancestors. So my grandmother is Lakota Sioux, an MHA Nation. MHA is a Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara tribes. They formed one nation. They're bordering to the Lakota people in North Dakota. And the history of Two-Spirit, like the word Two-Spirit came about, I believe in 1996, at a convention of Indigenous people in North America, to really create a term, an English term that we could use as Indigenous people, for the many terms that have described our kind of people in the various languages across Turtle Island, North America. And so all different tribes have their own different terms for this kind of person, Two-Spirit. And in 1996 at this convention, they came together to create this term. I feel a little bit passionate about that this is a term created by and for Native American people, Indigenous people to Turtle Island. Because our language is expanding as a society, and because there's lots of different new terms evolving, I feel like it's really important to just like reserve this term for our people. Because I've heard of other people being like, oh yeah, I'm Two-Spirit too. And I'm like, well, that's cool. And there's like a lot of other terms that are now emerging that are similar that you can use, but like, please don't colonize the one word that we've created as an English word for us as well. Yeah, that's one thing I want to say. And then for me, like in my relationship to being Two-Spirit and like discovering what it means for me, I've watched videos of other Two-Spirit beings talking about what it means for them. And there is like a little bit of difference in my experience. So my experience is having like two spirits in one body. And I know that that's not always true for other self-identifying Two-Spirits. But it is, in my experience, there's another being that's very effeminate male, and I would kind of describe myself as like a masculine female in this body, female bodied, more masculine energy, and this other spirit is more feminine energy in a masculine expression or spirit being, and that's it. What's helped me like really express that part of myself is when I became a drag queen in 2017 and was just like, oh wow, I get to like really play in this space and like allow my like queer self to be more seen and allow this other part of me to like find its expression. Because part of my experience is that I am sometimes attracted to men who are attracted to men. And when I talk about this, sometimes like with my other like cis female friends, they're like, oh yeah, I like gay men too sometimes, blah blah blah. And I'm like, yeah, but it's like different than like a girl crush on a gay man. Like for me, it's like it's a gay attraction. It's like this male part of myself wants to have a masculine to masculine or like male to male sort of relationship or like attraction dynamic. And I've had different periods of my life where there's like big grief that comes up of like being in this anatomically female body and feeling like this part of me wants to express itself with men, but like gay men, but feeling like they perceive me as female. And I'm like, how do I be with this? And so I've myself like just journeyed through the various ways of like finding places to express more fully as a Two-Spirit and allow that part of myself to feel validated and expressed. And yeah, drag is one of those ways, relating with men who are more queer than necessarily gay is another way that I have found. And yeah, for me, just like, I think my relationship to being Two-Spirit is also ongoing. As I like discover more of myself and more of myself grows and evolves, I think one of the biggest like, I don't know, moments in my life where I was like confronted by the social narratives around gender and identity and my relationship to it, because I became a mom almost 4 years ago. And when I was pregnant, prior to being pregnant, I was like dressing very androgynously and was like in a place in my life and in a cultural place where I had a lot of queer friends. There was a very bit strong queer culture. I was living in Melbourne, Australia, and I felt very confident in my like visual queer expression and dressing very androgynously and very identifying very much with being androgynous. And then when I became pregnant and I started showing, I was like, whoa, there's all of these social projections of what it means to be a pregnant person. And I hadn't really like, I mean, I kind of like knew about it on some like a conceptual level, but like to experience it myself and be like, wow, the projections that I'm receiving is like, one, that I'm in a relationship. And at that time I wasn't. Two, that I'm heterosexual. And three, that I am strictly female. And I was like, wow, those are like, these are all these like social constructs and ideas about a pregnant person. And I'm like having to face them in myself. And it was a really interesting like letting go process as well around my own attachment to identity and identity constructs. Because I was like, okay, people are going to perceive what they're going to perceive. And whenever I was like out in public with a male friend, like people would talk to my friend as if they were the father of my child. And like, before they would talk to me, like sometimes they'd be like, oh, congratulations, man. Like, good for you. And I'd be like, yo, I'm the pregnant one here. This is my platonic friend. And I'd have to like warn my friends sometime, like, look, if we go out in public, people are going to think you're the father of this child I'm carrying. And they'd be like, what? And I was like, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. And then they'd be like, oh my God, you're right. People just like talk to me as if I like impregnated you.
I feel like I have to wear a t-shirt that says like, I'm not the daddy or something, you know?
Yeah, and, exactly.
Like, that's like possible shirt through the brother.
There you go. Like... there you go. But yeah, it was an interesting journey of just like addressing, again, like my own attachments to certain identities and ways that I wanted to be perceived. And then also just like looking at society and what the assumptions that we make about other people and the assumptions that I make about other people. And be like, wow, like this deeply ingrained in us to perceive people in certain ways, depending on how they present in their body. And I think that that's been a really eye-opening experience for my own prejudice and my own assumptions, and also just like letting go of like whatever projections people have of me and being like, I can still identify as a queer person, as a genderqueer person, as an Indigenous person. I think too, like being light-skinned and being very mixed race Native, you know, I've heard many times like, oh, you don't look very Native, or oh, I wouldn't have guessed that. And on the contrast, I've heard also when I do say, they're like, oh yeah, that's how you look that way, or blah blah blah. But it's an interesting, I don't know, it's an interesting thing of like the world that we live in is so visually based, you know, that we make so many judgments and assumptions and projections about people based on what we perceive with our eyes. And for me, yeah, just getting to like self-affirm what I know to be true and not having to like need that external validation or like dress a particular way. And now I kind of feel like invisible as a queer person sometimes because I enjoy dressing quite femme, and like being pregnant and entering the journey of becoming a parent has like activated elements of like my femininity that I was kind of rejecting or suppressing previously. And I like dressing really femme sometimes. And then having a child as well, sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm still perceived as like this like straight mom, hetero person. And I'm like, that's okay. Like whatever, people can have whatever beliefs about me they want to have. And then also like, I do want to acknowledge that sometimes there's grief about that. And sometimes the, you know, the queer parts of me are just like, oh, I just want to be seen. And my daughter actually, I felt really validated and seen by her recently because she was trying to get my attention and she was like, mom, mom. And then she's like, Mr. Mom. And I was like, Mr. Mom, yes. Mom, I'm so seen. And it was just like, it was so cute and so innocent. And it was just like, yes, Mr. Mom, it fits.
You should make t-shirts that say that on it.
Yeah. Your mom, and he's not the daddy. Wow. I mean, your whole journey is just so touching and beautiful because I hear, you know, I've initially resonated with this like black and white upbringing, right? Like it's either this or that. It's not this and it's not that, or yes or no. Yeah. And then entering into this kind of liminal space where on the other side, there's this, there's a multitude of color. And we are a very visual collective. Like we see things and we assume, and I'm still checking myself in that, right? And our last guest spoke into this and envisioning a world where really like you see someone and how they look outside has nothing to do with who they are, who they sleep with, how they live their life, like anything. So we're headed there, but we're still kind of in this liminal space in between. And I find it really, really touching and empowering, like just to say like, I'm going to enter into this space of initially not knowing, right? Mm-hmm. Of saying like, I'm queer, and then coming to terms with something deeper within the space of your personal roots as Two-Spirit. Mm-hmm. And you being a mother, I think is really interesting because I feel like a lot of the collective is at the space of consciousness of a child, right? Like we're waking up to a lot. And my question to you is, how do you communicate like who you are and how you walk through the world to her? And I'm curious, like what her response is, like what's that interaction like?
Mm. Yeah, that's an interesting one. It's just started to come up more recently. It's been interesting where we live. There's like plenty of queer people here, but I wouldn't say there's like a necessarily strong like queer community that I've experienced in other places of the world. But one of our close friends who's recently come to the island is non-binary. And my daughter Naya was having this conversations with our friend and was saying like, are you a girl? And they were like, no. And they were like, but you're not a boy. And they were like, no, I'm non-binary. And I think like what's beautiful about children is like there's such honesty and such innocence in their honesty. And like I was speaking to Naya about it later after they were having that conversation. And I was like, yeah, you know, they're non-binary. That means they're not a boy or a girl, or they're a mix of a boy or a girl. And, you know, I'm a bit like that too. And I think kids can kind of just take things at face value. And I find that in my experience as a parent as well, in general, and in like any sort of topic really, and for me, like my life, one of the reasons I wanted to really come on this conversation as well is because I'm really big about like no taboo. And like nothing is taboo and nothing cannot be talked about. And I also think nothing cannot be talked about with a child. I think there's a manner in which you can speak to a child about, I would say, almost any topic in a way that they can understand. If you simplify it and bring it down to like the four primary colors or the four basic emotions, that is what a child can understand. Sad, glad, mad, scared. Like those are our four primary emotions. And if you can speak to a child in that way, because their neocortex isn't developed And so if I might say, you know, in terms of gender expression, like it feels happy for me to like sometimes feel like a boy and sometimes feel like a girl. Mm-hmm. And because there she's growing up in this environment of binary, and they're trying to work it out, and everything is like new and trying to understand everything. And also like a big piece of this conversation in our lives is also her not having a dad. And children are like trying to work out, like, why don't you have a dad? And who's your dad? And who's your mom? And who's your grandma? And blah, blah. And I'm estranged from my family. And so we don't have other like generational biological family around. And yeah, I think like with her, I speak in really simple language and I respect her intelligence. I think as a society, we don't often respect the intelligence of children. We treat them like children. When they're actually incredibly intelligent human beings that deserve love, respect, and dignity. And I think that's the foundation for what any child needs. And we talk about that as well, of like what a family looks like. Some families have one mom. Some families have two moms. Some families have two dads. Some families have a mom and a dad. Some families just have grandparents. Some people are adopted. And just like really painting that picture that like the world is very diverse and not everything is exactly the same. And the way that we refer to my co-creator is as her seed bearer. And so she has this really special person who is her seed bearer, who she's never met, but he helped me make her. And recently, because we had Father's Day, like there are some conversations that really started, I could see like things like clicking in her mind around understanding like what a seed bearer actually is. And what a dad actually is. But it's very conceptual, you know, because like what she witnesses with her friends is a dad that's like a love. That's a relationship of love. That's a relationship of happy. That's a relationship of like care, consistency, someone that's there, you know? And with the seed bearer, it's different. But I was kind of using verbal shorthand with someone. And I was like, oh yeah, her dad, blah, 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 blah. And then she like looked at me and I was like, well, your seed bearer, he's like your dad. And that's when I could see her going like, oh, they're like the same. And then it was Father's Day. And then like her at her preschool, they were making little like love heart cards for their dads. And then she got to make one for her seed bearer. And she like wrote how she wants to have lunch with him and she wants to have a sleepover with him. And it was actually perfect timing because the night before that we were like looking at photos on my phone and she like wanted to see her seed bearer. And I was like, oh, yeah, I can show you some pictures of her seed bearer. She'd seen some before, but it had been a while. And so, yeah, there's been this like ongoing conversation around like, what does that mean to have a dad or not have a dad, to have a seed bearer that's like a dad? And I can see now, even in the past week, like this level of like, a development of like self-security based around her understanding of what's like clicking now around her seed bearer and the significance of him in her life. And now she's kind of like proud of that. And she got to tell her friends what a seed bearer is. And they were like, what's a seed bearer? And it's like, oh, he helped my mom make me. And like, you know, so I'm using that as like the bigger conversation that's happening. And also, like we are having more conversations around like gender identity and non-binary and like me being attracted to different people. Like there was times of my life in the past year where I was like dating a man and a woman. And so she was kind of like witnessing these people that I was having like close relationships with and being like, yeah, like you can love anyone. And what I also teach her is like, love is like the most important thing. And as long as we have people that love us around us, it doesn't really matter what the relationship is, whether they're our friend or our partner or our auntie or uncle. Like here in Hawaii, auntie and uncle is used a lot for other people, whether they're related or not. And so that language is like very in her vocabulary. Like that's another auntie, that's another uncle. And having these loving, affectionate relationships, even my platonic relationships are often very affectionate. And so sometimes if there's like a new lover in my life, they're like wondering like how affectionate they should be in front of my daughter. And I was like, well, you know, there's degrees of affection that she's very used to because I'm very affectionate with my friends. And yeah, just like, I don't want to go too much down another rabbit trail, but just like creating an environment where like things are normal. It's normal to have loving relationships in our lives. It's normal to have affectionate relationships in our lives. It's normal to have people of all different skin tones in our lives. It's normal to have people of all different like physical expressions and like gender expressions in our lives, whether she can understand that concept or not. Just like normalizing it and being like, yeah, that's they're not a boy or a girl.
This is so beautiful, the way that you're raising her to just be so accepting of all the colors of the rainbow and all the different frequency and tones and notes that are available. And like you're saying, even if she doesn't understand that conceptually, just experiencing that is the integration and the acceptance of that as she gets older to have that be how she, her perspective of how she lives her life and looks through this different lens into the world. And we really like, thank you for parenting in this way, because this is, I believe, is really what the world needs, more type of parenting, so that we can live in a more tolerant, not even just tolerant, but a more embracing society where love trumps everything, like you're saying. Yeah. And I'm really curious to dive in a little bit more around these terms that we use nowadays, right? Like post-colonial colonization, like the terms queer and non-binary, and then how that those terms differentiate from this indigenous term Two-Spirit. And if you can explain a little bit more, like what these indigenous peoples, like how they viewed gender in general before colonization took over, and like how this Two-Spirit term, which is reserved for like more Native American indigenous cultures, but I know that there's been indigenous cultures all over the world, like in Hawaii and Australia and all these places that had their own terms for this, and the similar flavor of how they expressed gender and thought of gender pre-colonization.
Yeah, thank you. I was reminding myself that I wanted to like speak on that as well, so thanks for bringing it back to that. So pre-colonization, like really Native Americans looked at like five different genders. And so there was like male-male, which was like a male spirit in a male body. And there was female-male, which is a female spirit in a male body. There was Two-Spirit, which could be a male body with two spirits, a female body with two spirits, a combination of those things. Then there's like male-female, which is a male spirit in a female body, and female-female, which is a female spirit in a female body. So pre-colonization and like Christianity really like influencing, there was like five gender recognitions across North America that was like very accepted, and across tribes, and like even like the indigenous people of North America, modern day Canada, and over to Alaska, like the difference of how indigenous people identify across North America differs, and I'm still learning. And yet my understanding is that this gender expression has been like very commonly like accepted across indigenous cultures, definitely across North America, even across South America, I would say, very similar, if not like that same sort of five gender spectrum. And I will mention, because I had a long time living in Australia, and my daughter is Indigenous Australian as well, that some of the gender expression there is also quite similar, in terms, like they kind of use the term like ladyboy, which is a more modern term, but the expression has been around for a long, long, long time of like this female spirit inhabiting a male body, or a male spirit inhabiting a female body. And even if they weren't like fully identifying like the five different genders that are identified in North America, like Australians have had a very similar queer history. And I mean, Australian culture is the longest ongoing culture known to man on this planet, going back 60,000, 70,000 years, 62,000, 70,000 years, the longest ongoing culture. And it's very diverse as well. It's similar to North America, many mobs, many tribes, different expressions, different languages. But this gender expression and like two-spirit gender expression has been very prolific in our culture for a long time. And in my understanding of history, which is such a complex thing to try to understand because of how we are raised in a colonized, post-colonial and ongoingly colonized culture, it's very hard to understand history. And my personal upbringing was like heavily indoctrinated, as I've mentioned, so even my understanding of history is like a little more different than maybe even like the public school setting around the same time of my upbringing. And but what I do know, what I do understand, is that when colonization was happening, like two spirits were specifically targeted, and there was like a lot of massacre of two spirits of people who weren't matching the binary that colonizers wanted to perpetuate under the Christian banner of male, female, God ordained marriage, family, blah blah blah. And I think too, like a lot of that comes into like relationship dynamics and clan-based living versus the nuclear family, and what was being perpetuated under that agenda, you could say, as well. And I think, I mean, I'm a poet and a writer, and I love words, I love language, I love the development of language, I love to find different and interesting ways to express things. So I think there's a beauty in these newer like emerging words of like non-binary or genderqueer or gender non-conforming or trans, and like the many expressions of trans, like that's a whole other field. I'm like, oh my goodness, like you can ask any trans person what being trans means to them, and it can like totally differ. And I think that's similar to like queer or even two-spirit, is like you ask different two-spirits what two-spirit means to them, and it means lots of different things for different people. I'm super grateful. I know two other two-spirits here locally that I'm friends with, and we're like, you know, we're like, yeah, hey, woo! And it's inspiring because they're both really young as well. Like, I mean, yeah, a lot younger than me. I'm 35, and I think they're both like 23 or something. And so to see like young people with Indigenous blood also like holding on to this is a part of our like self-determination as Indigenous people to like maintain our stories, to maintain our song lines, to maintain our dances. Even if we didn't grow up in them, I was completely removed from my Indigenous society. My mother will continually reject even the possibility that I am Indigenous. And yeah, holding on to like language is like so important. And I mean, I'm sure like Elfina is experiencing this living in Hawaii, like the importance of language here is so palpable. Mm-hmm. And the importance of like honoring language is so important. You know, there's in every Indigenous culture pretty much that's been colonized, language is one of the first things to be suppressed. And cultural practices, dance, drumming, singing, all of those things are like global birthrights of human beings, and also like intrinsically woven into Indigenous culture. And they're many times the first, like the things that are suppressed, you know, language being like probably the primary one, like no, speak our language, you must learn English, you must learn whatever language of the colonizers. And even yeah, I'm just like reminded of how broad and how like expansive like colonizing is. And so I want to just say that, like, when we talk about colonization, it's very easy to like go into differentiation between Anglo people and Indigenous people. And I use the term Anglo instead of white because white is not a race, it is not even a color. And yeah, it's that can often be like the division that happens in conversations around colonization. And also, like, Hawaii was colonized, and Aotearoa, New Zealand, was colonized by Maori people who are now celebrated as the indigenous people of Aotearoa.
Mm-hmm.
But they colonized it. And so, like, yeah, looking even, you know, amongst Native American tribes, like, how many wars between natives, you know, there's it's ongoing. And if we look at what's happening in the Middle East, it's like, who is the indigenous people of this land? Is it Palestinians? Is it Israelis? Are they brown-skinned people? Are they light-skinned people? Who knows? And it's like, that's why, like, for me, like, letting go of some of, like, the difficulty or the tension of history is, like, what's important to, like, release and remember, like, humanity and our global family. And as much as, like, I really actually get a little bit pissed off when people are like, oh, we're all indigenous to Earth, because it actually invalidates the experience of modern day indigenous people. And at the same time, like, loosening the threads of how much we hold on to needing to be right about whose land is whose land and who was there first and blah blah blah, honoring, like, okay, this is the lineage of this people in this place, and they're recognized in these particular ways, and their language is being restored and celebrated, and that's amazing. Yeah, and it's complex.
Yeah, something, thank you so much for just broadening the scope of this conversation and talking about something that can be really sticky and tricky to even share and express, but something that I feel like is so helpful for people to really hear in this perspective. And like the biggest thing when I was researching, reading about Two-Spirit, reading about all these, like you're saying, Australia, Thailand with the ladyboy culture there, like all these countries all over the world, is that these two spirits or these non-binary beings were not ostracized. They weren't rejected from society. They were actually almost pedestaled, and like they were seen as the wisdom keepers and the leaders because they had this connection to both spirits or to both worlds or to both genders. And it's just so interesting to see like how it kind of flipped from colonization, taking this thing that was like worshipped and prized and cherished to something that, and respected, really respected, to something that's now really in the mainstream misunderstood and oftentimes targeted. And so, yeah, just wondering like how we can really restore these ancient terms to their original blueprint, their original meaning, and share that with the world. And through that, like, remembrance, I feel like the stigma will just like naturally start to disintegrate, and they'll be restored to their innate holiness. That's my prayer anyway.
Yeah, thank you. And I think that's a really important like point to make, is because we held such a place of reverence in our communities and in our cultures, and like it is a really special thing to be someone who bridges the worlds, you know, between men's business and women's business, and channels from source in particular ways. And I think I'm just reminded now of a video I saw of Alok V. Manon, incredibly amazing non-binary activist in the world and one of my favorite trans non-binary people. And they were saying how they like loving themselves and coming to like fully become comfortable and confident in how they wanted to express themselves in the world, like allowed them to love everyone. And I really see them as like such a pillar and like such a well-respected person, and a sort of like modern representation of like what's possible in terms of like the dignity and respect that I perceive they are receiving. And of course there's like so many haters, so many internet trolls, but the way that they respond is like maintains their own dignity, you know, like with someone's like, oh, you're so hairy and blah 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 blah, and like they've, you know, shared screenshots of comments they get online and they're just like, I'm so sorry that you've grown up in a world that has told you that you are ugly and that you've hated yourself so much that you've had to turn that outward onto me. And like they have so much compassion for humanity and for people in suffering that even when, I mean, I'm sure it hurts, they're still human, but like even when they're like receiving like such sharp words and violations towards them, like they emanate so much love and so much self-respect that they don't even like lower themselves to the vibration of like combat or hatred or like opposition. And I feel like that is the beginnings to the answer of the prayer that you've just spoken. And like the more, like they're very public. I don't know if you follow them on Instagram or not, but they've been doing world tours in the last year.
Will you say their name one more time?
Alok V. Manon.
Okay, we can put this in the comment too. Yeah, for people.
Yeah, A-L-O-K, the initial V, and then Manon, M-E-N-O-N.
Okay.
Really inspiring person because of like the position of self-respect and dignity they hold and the love that emanates from them. And they're also a comedian and hilarious in the way that they also like talk about these type of things. And like, yeah, I've watched some of their comedy skits and they're like poking at this same thing. And I remember, if I'm in drag, I'm a lot more funny. I realize my inner comedian is great in drag. But yeah, they kind of like pointed at like, oh, if you're, you know, if you're straight, like this is a safe space for you, because I'm on stage, or I don't know. They speak to the same thing in really funny ways and like really like articulate it in a way that is punchy and comedic and still like not self-deprecating or, I don't know, harmful to other people. But that's what comes to mind in terms of like the rise of queer people, genderqueer, non-binary, two spirits being like seen and recognized in society for the magic and the gift that they are. And I really do think that we're moving, well, this is like a complex thing to say because I feel like there's two things happening culturally and societally right now. And I'm just going to trust the transmission of what I'm saying lands how it needs to land. But I do feel like we are moving towards a world that is more androgynous, that is less attached to the binary, and still respects also the magic of men's business and women's business. Because I think there is something to be said for that too. That those of us who are womb carriers and those of us who are seed bearers have really special magic. And if we are such that we need to alter our bodies in order to like find our truest expression, like blessings and aho to that. And also one of the questions that I actually, in my show as a drag queen, I created a full length performance show that is, I call myself a dragtivist. So drag activist. And in my show, I really spoke to my lived experiences of overcoming multiple experiences of sexual assault perpetrated by both male and females. And coming to body sovereignty and advocating for boundaries and consent. And it's interesting because when I created the show back in 2017, we weren't socially having the same conversations that we're having now, particularly around drag queens, around trans people, and yeah, queer people. The conversations were different, and it's been interesting to see them develop over the last 6-7 years. But at that time, one of the questions I posed in my show was, can we address a society that says you have to look a certain way to identify as something? And can we look at our propensity to conform and the need to conform in order to feel safe? And I'm not against body modification. I'm not against transitioning. I'm so supportive of people who choose that. And I will advocate for their rights to do that safely and with as much support as possible. And also I want to look at a sick society that says that we're unwell or that we're not right unless we fit into a binary. And it's edgy for me to talk about that, even more edgy for me to ask that question now in terms of the social and political conversations that are happening than it was for me to ask that question in 2017. And I still feel it's relevant because of what's happening in the world and because of the way that, yeah, it's very complex. It's the conversations in my perception are very complex. And there's multiple avenues and streams of information that are being perpetuated and distributed across media platforms from various sources. And I think it's important to really investigate that for ourselves and what lands true for us as individuals. And for me, my intuition is my highest compass, and I will follow that navigation. And that's part of where I'm able to perceive or how I'm able to perceive what's happening in the world around these conversations. That's why I say it's complex, because I think the powers that be, the elites, whatever you want to call those people, are wanting to perpetuate certain narratives. And then there's also in the US, there's crazy political parties that are attaching themselves to certain sides of arguments and really creating a lot of division. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess the point I want to bring it back to as well is just honoring the full five spectrum gender expressions, and honoring where people find themselves in those. And if you're not Indigenous to North America and you're not Indigenous, or you don't know your ancestral roots, that's a big thing too, is a lot of Indigenous cultures get really romanticized because a lot of Anglo people are detached from their ancestral roots. But find yourself in this spectrum. And if you don't, if you're not Indigenous, please don't use the term two-spirit. But find what works for you. If you're somewhere in between, a very effeminate person in a male body or a very masculine person in a female body, that's sweet. That's part of humanity. Mm-hmm. And if you're non-binary or trans or genderqueer or fucking fluid, who knows what on what day. Amazing. I celebrate that. And if you're like man in a man's body and woman in a woman's body, like I 100% celebrate that too. And as I say, like, I feel like I want to continually honor those roles that people hold in society as womb carriers and seed bearers, that like those are just as important. And also, like, let's break down the stigma and the cultural shame around people who aren't those things. Those of us who like to blur the lines.
Yeah. What's coming through as you're sharing around this, like the true medicine that two-spirit, that non-binary, that queer individuals hold, I feel like is a reminder that we're all of it. And they are able to bridge these colors and these spectrums where we live in a very dualistic binary world. And I feel like these individuals are way showers and guides back to the oneness and the full spectrum that we all carry within us. And that is why I believe they were revered and they were spiritual leaders and they were targeted to perpetuate that dualistic narrative. Yeah. So thank you for being a way shower for us. Thank you for reminding us and guiding us home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for receiving me and inviting me to be here.
Yeah, honestly, the amount of compassion that like runs through your blood is incredibly moving and touching. And it's been an honor to witness and be with you for this past hour. And so many codes, just all rooted in deep compassion, deep love, a deep honoring, and still a respect and witnessing for where we are and what is, and the work that we were placed on this earth to do, and this new earth that we're ushering in through these spaces. And as you said, Elfina, yeah, embracing and bowing down to the full spectrum of the rainbow, you know. And I just, something that's coming through that I want to speak into for those of you that are listening, and we touched on it briefly, is if there's a space in your life where you feel something around you is out of resonance with you, right? Like maybe you can call it hate or sadness or anger towards another person, just getting really curious about that and knowing that perhaps like that seed was planted in you by something other than your highest truth. And bringing compassion to that space and recognizing that perhaps everything that we see, everything that we project, we are. And just know that we love you and we see you and we're with you in this process. And I feel like a deep holding towards you and your being during this transition. Before we close out, Z, I just want to see if there's anything else coming through your channel that you want to share or be with in this moment.
Thanks. Yeah, I feel like the words that you just spoke, Heather, were really similar to what was coming through for me. It was just like, you know, what we reject externally is what we reject about ourselves. And what we don't want to give permission for other people to do is where we're holding ourselves back. And Alok speaks about this quite a bit too, of like, you know, people, I mean, especially they're very, like, very visually queer. You can't miss them. And I feel like when people are like trying to deny their existence, it's because they're denying their own self-permission. So yeah, again, for those who are watching who might be like, that's wrong, or that doesn't resonate with me, or like da da da, like, yeah, go a little bit deeper and softer with yourself. Mm-hmm. And like really question what might be there for you. Like, where are you not fully receiving yourself? Or where are you not fully celebrating yourself? What are you not giving yourself permission to express? It doesn't even have to be like externally through what you wear. It could be like something that you are holding back from saying to someone. And recognizing that people like myself and others who are being very forthcoming in our expression, whether that's gender or sexuality, like that could just be a pointer at where in your life you're not expressing something. That doesn't even have to be about sexuality. Yeah, just holding so much love and compassion, and like we're all on a journey, you know, and my journey has been so vast and such a myriad of things, and I'm really grateful to be where I am now. And I think one of the things that's helped me get here to this like way of being is really exploring and investigating non-dualism and how that resonates for me, of like, it's not either or, it's both and. It's not trans or male, female. It's all of us together. It's not, you know, two spirits or cis people. Yeah, thank you so much. I feel so honored. I feel like so open. My channel is like, woo! Yeah, thank you so much, both of you.
You are welcome. It's been such a privilege to have this conversation with you. And one last thing before we wrap is just what you shared earlier about how you were communicating with your daughter, and how children are so curious, yeah, right? And from such an innocent space. And I believe that's the true essence and core of our being before these collective narratives and stories are placed on our shoulders. And I believe it is our work to begin to take the weight off and to clear our channels and to be with the truth of what is, and that's ultimately love, right? And compassion. So yeah, thank you for bringing that simplified perspective to this conversation, because it feels like in this space, like you were sharing, it's complex and there is so much noise around it right now that I feel like oftentimes if you don't understand the lingo or the narrative, there's like a wall built, you know? So to almost explain these things as if you explain them to a child is really supportive. So also inviting those of you listening to, yeah, perhaps try on simplicity in conversation and really communicating to the core of what is happening. Before I wrap, do you want to share anything else that's coming through for you?
I think just like the final thing on that would just be like, you know, speak that way to your inner self too, you know, like talk to those parts of you that like want to have a go or like that are confused, or just like bring it back down soft. I keep saying the word soft, and it's funny because one of my favorite adjectives, you know, earlier I said I really like language and finding ways to express things, and I love mashing words together to create a new word. And in my drag show as well, I use the word stroft to describe myself a lot. I'm very strong and soft.
Yes, you're a word masher too. This is great. You don't draw. I don't meet many word mashers, and it's not like something I plan. It just comes up when you hear two words, and then you're like, boom, got it. It's right in the center.
And strong. So like, that's my encouragement too. Like, stay strong, stay strong, and stay soft.
Stay strong. Wow. Well, thank you again, Lindsay, for sharing your beauty, your heart, your compassion, your love, your story. Just wow. Like, just my heart's overpouring with gratitude and Before we wrap, I'm curious to know how our listeners can reach you or work with you if they want to continue the conversation or dive into a container with you.
Yeah, the best way to probably reach me is through Instagram. My handle is at kiss.awaken.magnetize, spelled with a Z. I know in Australia that they spell it with an S, but magnetize with a Z. Kiss.awaken.magnetize is the best way.
Yeah. Love that handle. Kiss, awaken, and magnetize. Beautiful. Yeah,
the deeper meaning behind it is actually kiss codependency goodbye, awaken your truth, and magnetize love.
Woo! Full body chills on that one. Such deep resonance. Thank you for those. Codes everywhere. Codes on codes on codes. Oh, wow. Well, thank you so much for those of you listening, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of Taboo Talks. We would not be here without you. And as I said before, our hearts are overpouring with gratitude. Don't miss a single second of these conversations where we continue traversing the new earth with leading and loving minds. Subscribe on Spotify podcasts, look for Cis Society Taboo Talks. And if this resonated with you, please, please, please share these very important conversations. And if you're interested in joining the conversation, you can send us a message on our Instagram at Cis Society World to be added to our private WhatsApp community where your important voice gets to be heard. Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you, Elfina. Thank you.
Thank you,
life. Thank you, life. We'll see you next time.
Aloha.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of Taboo Talks. We wouldn't be here without you. And don't miss a single second of these juicy conversations where we continue traversing the new earth with leading minds. Subscribe and share these important conversations to be a part of the Cis Society movement.